Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And this week, Pastor Brian continues his study, going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, in a study he entitles The Power of God. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
So look at me carefully. Every person that dies with Jesus Christ, he leaves none of them dead. He raises every single one of them, and they all walk in newness of life. Every person is truly a child of God. They die, and they also rise, and they walk. They will walk in the newness of life. And if they're not walking in the newness of life, they've never died with Jesus Christ. They've never truly received salvation. They're religious and may have some belief in God, but if there's no transformation and change, something went wrong. God says in Joshua, I'm going to manifest myself. You're going to know that the living God is among you. This is what I'm going to do. Today, we don't look for nations to be driven out. We look for a changed and transformed life. These old habits, old desires, old ways, they're diminishing while the presence of Christ is growing and increasing within our life, the manifestation of it. And if that's not happening, if it hasn't happened, then I believe that you never truly died with Jesus Christ. Because everyone that dies will be raised and will walk in newness of life. And for some strange reason, and I think it's more just an emotional reason, we have these relatives that, well, they kind of received the Lord. We're not sure about them. And they went forward out of crusade or out of church, but yet they're a boozer and a womanizer and abusive in their speech, and there's no newness of life there. We want to make excuses for such people. We need to disassociate our emotions from that and say what the Bible teaches is everyone that dies also rises and they will walk in newness of life. And that is one of the ways to confirm that God is truly among you and in you through the Spirit, that there's a change and transformed life. If that hasn't happened, then you've never truly died. You never even started your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you would need today. And at the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity to receive this new life that the Lord wants to impart. But everybody dies with Christ, they also rise, and they will walk in newness of life. We're not talking perfection, we're not talking sinlessness, but there will be a change and a transformation in that person's life. How could it not be? How could the eternal God of the universe, by his Spirit, indwell someone's life and there's no evidence of it? That is an impossibility. Because when God shows up and manifests his presence, there's evidence of that. And same with a person's life. Jesus said that a good tree will bear good fruits. The presence of God in someone is going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and it will be obvious, it will be evident, and you don't have to guess. It's going to be there, because the power of God is taking that person's life. Now, of course, there's people that struggle at different levels. I'm not denying that aspect. But you're going to be able to see there's a different heart, that person's different. That's what salvation is. Salvation brings that about. Now, he's going to go on to describe that even in more detail. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, which I believe speaks of the resurrection of this life here spiritually, a new life, but also in heaven eternally. We're going to be like the Lord. Verse 6. Knowing this. Now, if you take notes or underline in your Bible or circle things, underline those two words, knowing this. So what does Paul, is he telling us to do something here? To act something out? No, he's telling you to understand something. And what he's going to say next in this verse is so crucial to understand if we're going to walk in this newness of life and come into all that God has for us in the victory and the liberty that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us at the cross. So he's not telling you to do anything, he's telling you to understand something. So much of Christianity is you first understand it, and then it gets lived out. You know it to be true. It's the truth that sets a person free. So here's what you need to know. That our old man was crucified with him. And the old man is that person that's related to Adam that was dominated by sin, that was a slave to sin. That person was crucified with Jesus Christ. That person no longer exists. I know for myself, one moment, I was one way, I received the Lord, and I became a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old Brian Parrish doesn't exist. I mean, what my life now is and what it represents, there's no relationship that's there. I have different desires, different values, different directions and goals for my entire life. I have a whole different perspective on life and eternity than that old Brian Parrish. That guy's dead and no longer exists. Thank God for that. So he was crucified with Christ. The old man, that person was dominated and controlled by sin. Go on and read. That, and this is the reason why, that the body of sin might be done away with. The body of sin. That's what a non-Christian is. As described as the old man or the body of sin, that body that is enslaved to sin. And that's all they can do. They cannot free themselves. There's nothing a non-Christian could do to free themselves from sin in order to be right with the Lord. It takes a supernatural work. It takes identifying yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through faith in what he accomplished at the cross. And when that happens, that sin-controlled life, says, has been done away with. It means put out of business, put out of operation. It no longer controls you. That person that you were before you received the Lord no longer controls or dominates your life. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, what the Word of God says and how God sees you is that you are bound by sin and you can't get out of that. There's no way of escape. That's why it takes faith and trust and confidence in what Jesus Christ did in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the only way to be freed from the captivating, enslaving habits of sin is through the supernatural power of God coming into your life. And he's wanting to make you a new creation. That doesn't come by going to church, doesn't come by being religious. It comes by humbling yourself and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when that happens, for everybody, that body of sin has been done away with, as Paul says. And here's the result. Here's what I want you to see, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. The result is, as the old man dies, we now as Christians are no longer slaves of sin. He doesn't say that the Christian will be free entirely from sin. He doesn't say that you're no longer have any desires to sin, but you're no longer a slave to sin. There's a difference between committing an act of sin and being a slave to it. We are no longer controlled by sin's dominating power. That's the message of Romans chapter 6. And Paul says, I want you to know this, that you are no longer a slave to sin. And maybe it's hard for you to understand, well, how is this old man crucified and the body of sin being? Set that aside for a second. The main message, which is simple to read, is that you're no longer a slave to sin. Now, that's a standard that I want to hold up. There's no reason for any Christian at any point in their life to ever be in bondage to anything. The Bible gives us victory. And Peter tells us he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if we're not living in that freedom and we're in bondage to something, don't try and drag the Word of God down and say, oh, you're not understanding it right. I think anyone could read it and says you're no longer a slave to sin. Read through Romans chapter 6, and you're going to walk away with, I died somehow, and I'm alive to God, and I'm no longer that same person. I'm no longer a slave to sin. That's the message you would get. You may not understand all that there is involved in that, but you'd understand there's liberty and freedom from sin in Christ Jesus. What we want to do is we want to say, well, that can't be true, because I'm not living that way. So let's change the Word of God. Let's bring it down to make it fit my life. And that's the danger of that life that wants to compromise God's Word. Let's not compromise it. Let's lift it up. Say, here's the standard. Here's what God says is ours in Christ. Just like the nation of Israel, God said, I'm going to drive out all the enemies. They weren't driven out because of some lack in Israel, not a lack in God. So there's something lacking in us if we're walking in addiction to sin. We're a slave to it.